All right. Take your Bibles, please. Look at Job 19 again. And we're not going to reread the whole thing again. We really don't want to go into the afternoon. But again, the verse 25, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth, for I know." There's key words right there, "for I know." Now, he's gone through a list here of all his friends. He's gone through a list of everybody that that he was close to. He's gone through a list of those that are loved ones. He's gone through a list of people that he's cared for. He's counseled. He's loved them. He's given his time. They have loved him. They've been close. Of course, his wife is on that list. And now they've all forsaken him. But he says this. He says, "I know that my Redeemer liveth." Amen. He says, there's one friend that's still there. There's one friend that he has stuck with me all this time. And I want to talk to you this morning about fair weather friends from the book of Job. I guess I get as irritated as anything every time I read Job and I get to this section right here. It just bothers me. Where are his friends? And he tells us pretty much where they are. Of course, the book of Job is a dialogue between Job and three of his closest friends, and then one of their friends who kind of jumps in as well. And it is during a time that Job is going through a trial that, as we read it, as we go through it and study it, that none of us can even imagine. I remember in 1990 when Dr. Tom Williams told me personally, said that I reminded him of Job because we had gone through just a series of trials. And yet, as I read the book of Job, I could not even imagine going through all that Job went through. And so I want to talk to you about fair weather friends. Who should have been there? These people should have been there with Job. They should have been there. You say, well, you know, it looked like, I don't care what it looks like. It doesn't matter what it looks like. You know what matters? What matters is, are you their friend or not? I mean, are you a friend? It doesn't matter what is going on outwardly. It doesn't matter what you may think. It doesn't even matter what Facebook says. It doesn't even matter what it says on the internet. You know what matters? Are you their friend or not? And every time I read this, I think, boy, you know, how sad that people can actually say, oh, I'm your friend, and they don't even know what it means. They don't have a clue. But I got news for you. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You'll never be able to just really count on humans. But you know, we can always count on Jesus. Always. Father, bless the preaching this morning. Please speak to our hearts. Thank you so much for many, many friends. Real friends. People that really care. People that really love and they have the love of Jesus. But mostly I thank you for Jesus, who is my very best friend. And the one who's always there, no matter what I do, no matter what I say, no matter how it looks. Thank you for Jesus. And I pray that you will help us to learn some things today, some things that'll be a blessing and a help to us. And especially pray if there's anyone here who does not know Jesus as their best friend, they're not saved, I pray they'd get saved today in Jesus' name. Amen. Fair weather friends. When I think of fair weather friends, first thing I think of, and not all of them are like this, but I think of insurance salesmen. Always. I've had some doozies. Now, I don't now. I have good representation now, and I try to do that. I try to get that. I don't like somebody who's just a salesman. I like somebody who will do what they say they're going to do. But, you know, they love you, give you a calendar when they want your premium, but then when you try to file a claim, you can't find them. You know, that's a fair weather friend. That is some, not all, certainly not all insurance salesmen. I think of politicians are fair weather friends. They can be. Promise you everything, and then when it comes down to it, where are they? You know, I have a problem. You need to answer my question. You need to help me out. I'm too busy for that or whatever. I think of a used car salesman. You know, they're your friend till the car they sold you becomes a lemon, you know, and then they don't want to talk to you. And again, not all are like that, but that's what I think of. But the story here is of Job. And in case you're not familiar with the story, Job is certainly the best Christian at that time. The Bible says he's a perfect and upright man. Now, certainly we know Job is not sinless because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but he's a good man. And he loves God, and he's walking with God, and God has blessed him in a great way. And let me remind you, God will bless you when you do right. That doesn't mean you'll have the biggest house, doesn't mean you'll have the biggest bank account, doesn't mean you'll drive the nicest cars, but God will bless you. You just need to do right. And the story tells us in Job that the devil came to God one day, and the devil does that, by the way, and the devil can't do anything without God allowing it. You need to remember that. And the devil came to God one day, and God is the one that said, "Consider my servant Job." It was not the devil's idea. It was not the devil's thought. It was not the devil's plan. It was God that initiated the topic of Job and said, "Look at my servant Job," and he's bragging on Job. By the way, God can brag, amen? And we are his workmanship created for God to brag on us. That is our purpose in life, so that God can brag on us and God can get the glory for the workmanship that he's made. That's why you're here today as a Christian, so that God can get the glory for your life. And that's what he's doing with Job. He's just saying, "Here's my servant Job." And literally the devil says, "Well, you protect Job and you give Job all these things. Let me have Job for a while. And when I take Job for a while, I'll show you he didn't even love you. I'll show you that he only serves you because he has all these things." And so God said, "You know what? You can do anything you want to Job. You just can't kill him." And by the way, when the devil wants to do something to you, he does it with a vengeance. And boy, all of a sudden, Job loses everything that he has. 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 donkeys, his 10 children are taken. His health is taken. Wow. I mean, think about that. Just like that. It's gone. Everything's gone. Now, Job himself said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." Though he slay me, if God himself were to slay me, he said, "I'm going to trust him." He had the disease, we believe, that was called elephantiasis, which is very much like a leprosy, or in our thinking, a cancer on the outside of the body, the boils, the pus, the disease, just as nasty as anything could be. And literally, he goes out to an ash heap and he mourns. An ash heap, like a dump, like going to the city dump where it stinks and it's trash and it's refuse. And he sits out on the ash heap. He takes a piece of a pot shirt and he scrapes the sores because they itch and hurt so bad. And he scrapes them with that, and the pus is oozing out of his body, and he's lost everything. He's buried his 10 children. His wife has said, "Curse God and die." And then his three friends show up. And you know the story. And these three friends, and by the way, we find out at the end of the story that the three friends, God is not pleased with them at all. And we also find out that God turns the captivity of Job when he prayed for these three friends. It wasn't because of the three friends, it was because Job, he forgave them and he had a heart for his friends, because Job really was a friend. These three friends come to Job at the worst time of his life. These three friends, they came to Job after he's had the funeral service for his 10 children, after he's lost everything that he had, after his body has been injured with these boils and this pus, and after he sat on the ash heap, these three friends come to him, and they start out by blaming him. "Obviously, Job, you aren't doing right. Obviously, Job, it's very obvious, Job, that you must not be walking with God. It's very obvious, Job, that there's sin in your life. You must be doing something wrong or this would not happen. I'm so frustrated with people that think just because you're a Christian that everything is just always going to be wonderful. Well, inside it can be wonderful, and it is wonderful because the joy of the Lord is our strength, but it doesn't mean that you don't have problems. You've been watching too much charismatic television. Amen. Because I got news for you. Jesus didn't have a place to lay his head. Let's not think that because a person gets saved, that means instant wealth, instant success, never any problems. My Bible talks about valleys every bit as much as it talks about mountaintops. And these three friends decide that, you know, this is all your fault, Job. Chapter 19 starts out, Job answered and said, "How long will you vex my soul and break me in pieces with words?" These are his friends. These are people that have been close to Job. And when Job had money, and when Job had land, and when Job had animals, and he had all this power, and when he was the judge sitting at the gate, these guys, "Hey, Job, let's go out to eat." These three friends, you have to understand. He says, "How long will you break me in pieces with words? Your words are breaking me in pieces." Verse 3, he says, "These 10 times have you reproached me. Ye are not ashamed that ye make yourself strange to me." You are making yourselves enemies to me. These are people, a list here of people who forsook him. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes I read this and I sit and I just cry because I think, how could people forsake Job? How can we forsake those that we say are our friends? Well, it's because we're fair weather friends. That's how. Fair weather friends. A fair weather friend is when everything is good, when they have money, when they have land, when they have animals, when they have good health, when everything's going well, they're there. And when they have trouble, they vanish. They're fair weather friends. Jesus knew what that was like. By the way, it was prophesied that he would. He was despised and forsaken of man, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. I think one of the greatest sorrows is when the Bible says he turned and looked at Peter when Peter was away and when Peter had forsaken him. The Bible says about Jesus and his disciples. Now wait, we're talking about men who were his friends. Okay, he's the Lord. He's the preacher. He's the healer. He's all of that. But these men were his disciples. They were his friends. And the Bible says about those friends, they forsook him and fled. We have the story of the prodigal son. By the way, there are many stories in the Bible of this. Job just really stands out to me. But the prodigal son, when he had lots of money, you remember the story. He received his inheritance ahead of time. "Dad, I'm going to do my own thing." Okay. You know, it's amazing how many people will run with their friends and forsake their parents. Happens all the time. All the time. You know? A parent who has fed you, clothed you, cared for you, loved you. A mom that has put a cold rag on your head at 2 o'clock in the morning when your fever spiked. A dad who has worked extra jobs and sometimes overtime so you could have things. Parents that love you. And all of a sudden, here comes someone who says, "I'm your friend." Boy, and all of a sudden, you know, "Hey, mom and dad, get lost. I'm going with them." That's not the message, but it sure fits. And that's what the prodigal did. And he, boy, I'll tell you, when he had all that money, did he ever have a lot of friends? And I don't think at any of that time he thought of dad. Guess what, though? Dad was thinking about him. You know why? Because dad was a true friend, not a fair weather friend. Oh, and so he ran out of money. And guess where he is? He's in the pig pen. Where's all the friends now? Where? Hey, prodigal son, where are your friends? You're in a pig pen. Well, it's the only way I can get enough money to eat. And if I don't have enough money, I can at least eat what the pigs won't eat. And he did. Good example. Where's your friends, prodigal son? I say this often, and it's inevitable. When you forsake a true friend, and I'm including your parents in that, I'll include your pastor in that, I'll include your Sunday school teacher in that, I'll include anybody that's given and given and given. When you forsake a true friend for fair weather friends, you are about to get burnt. Amen, sir. Every time. You will get. By the way, if you forsake a true friend for anything, you're going to get burnt. Because you're going to lose a true friend. Not that they'll leave you. You left them. Prodigal son, his dad is waiting on him while he's in the pig pen. While he's scooping up the corn that is laced with mud and manure, and he's sticking that in his mouth, and he's eating that because he's starving. While he's doing that, his daddy's praying for him. His daddy's begging for him to come back. His daddy's looking out the window every day. His daddy opens the door and he looks down the long path and he's just waiting to see that boy come back home someday. Amen. You forsake a true friend, you're going to get burnt. You've lost. You've lost a lot. Losing his money was nothing. Losing his daddy was everything. It was everything. And Job is hurting. Chapter 13, verse 1. Look at it. Chapter 13 and verse 1. Lo, mine eye has seen all this, mine ear hath heard and understood it. What ye know, the same do I know also. I am not inferior unto you. Surely I would speak to the Almighty, and I desire to reason with God. But ye are forgers of lies. Ye are all physicians of no value. Oh, that ye would altogether hold your peace, and it should be your wisdom. These guys are coming to Job at the worst time of his life, and all they can do is point fingers at him. Well, Job, maybe you did this wrong. 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 He said, you're forgers of lies. You're physicians of no value. You have no value. I need a physician. You aren't helping me. I need somebody to tell me they love me. I need somebody to help me. I need somebody to encourage me. I need somebody to run alongside me. I need somebody to help me get up out of this ash heap and go on with my life somehow, because I know it's not over with. God, let me live. Job said, God, just take me. These guys say, well, you did this wrong, Job. You did this wrong. It's obvious you did this wrong. They didn't have a clue. By the way, you don't have a clue either. How in the world are we going to know what our God is doing to somebody or allowing to happen in their life? How do you know? How do you know? How do you know their trial, their problem, their agony isn't the result of God saying to the devil, that's my servant. Amen. That's my servant down there. That guy loves me. That person loves me. Devil, you can do whatever you will. You just can't take their life. How do you know? Amen. Verse 13, here's who he lost. Verse 13, he hath put my brethren far from me. My brethren, that's my brothers and my sisters. These are supposed to be his friends. Hey, Job, where's your brothers and sisters while you sit here in the dump? Where's your brothers? Oh, they're very angry with me. They're very upset with me. They want nothing to do with me. I mean, come on. Job would probably say, why would anybody? I mean, look at me. Look at me. Pus is running down my arms. I have to wrap my arms with rags to soak up the pus, the infection of this dreaded disease. Why would anybody be interested in me? I can almost hear their postings about Job. Did you see him? Did you smell him? What did he do? Well, here's what I think. Yeah, I know. It says, mine acquaintances are verily estranged from me, my brethren, my acquaintances. Verse 14, my kinsfolk have failed. His aunts, his uncles, all of them. You know what's interesting, and I don't have time to do this. I would if I had time. But at the end of the book, God doubles everything. For Job, that means you lose 7,000 sheep, you get 14,000. He doubles everything. Wow, isn't that good? And it's very interesting, the kinsfolk, they throw a party. Hey, Job, man, it's good to have you back. Where were they? There were fair weather friends. That's where they were. When it's good, we're with you. When it's bad, we're not. You know what's sad? There's a lot of fair weather marriages like that. Yeah. Your vow should be for better, for richer, in health. Hey, I'm with you for better, for richer, and in health. Amen. If I had the energy, I'd go down and amen myself. Because I like this. I'm serious. For richer, healthy, and for better. I'm with you. I say this all the time. These young couples get married, they have no clue what the worst is. They don't even think that's possible. We're in love. They don't have a clue. We who've been married a while, we know the worst is in there. We know there's bad stuff coming. We know that. We know there's going to be the sickness. We know that. We know the poorer is just right around the corner. In fact, got to pay for the wedding. Huh? Yeah, I know. Where were they? Bible says, in verse 14 says, and my familiar friends have forgotten me. These are people that were very close. They, at one time or another, they had treated him very well. Wow. I mean, it's amazing. He said, they've forgotten me. What's that? That's when you call, they don't answer. That's when you text, they don't answer. It's when you have a need, you've met their needs. They don't answer. Verse 15, who else? They that dwell in mine house and my maids count me for a stranger. I'm an alien in their sight. I called my servant. He gave me no answer. I entreated him with my mouth. These are the servants in the house. These are people that he's fed. These are people that he has cared for. These are people he had treated well. The Bible says he was an upright man. I know he treated his servants well. Hey, where are you? They had served, but now Job's down. And they have no interest in serving. Isn't that sad? To me, it is just so sad. Hey, Job, where's your servants? You've been good to them. You loved them. You gave to them. You provided for them. That one servant needed a new suit. You bought him a new suit. That one lady, you paid some of her bills for her. Where are they when you're down, Job? What? Why? And he says, I don't know. I call them and they don't even know I exist. You know why? Because they're fair weather friends. And when Job was up, boy, they smiled real big. When Job was up, they're all around him. When everything was good, they loved, boy, Job, you're the greatest guy around. And then when things were down, they left him. Verse 18, it says, yea, young children despise me. I arose and they spake against me. Who's that? You know, when Job was the judge, he sat at the gate. And the Bible says all this, and he was a hero to the children. He might have been like a lot of our folks here. He might have handed candy out to the children as the children came around. He was a hero to them. They had posters up of Job in their bedrooms because he's a hero. He's a great guy. He's a leader. And back in those days, they honored heroes. In our day, we honor people because they can hit a ball. Or they can make noise called music. Hello. We wouldn't know what a real hero is. We wouldn't have any clue. Some folks get offended when you want to honor a preacher, and they can't understand why anybody would want to do that. And I think you got to be kidding. But this is the day we live. We think a guy can throw a stupid football is more important than a preacher. We're out of our gourds. No wonder our country's going to hell. Amen. Hello. I am preaching. These kids came to the gate, and Job gave them a piece of candy, and he loved them, and he cared about them, and all of that. But see, now the children make fun of him because he has boils. I pity a child. Some of our adults give you candy week after week after week. I pity you when that person becomes elderly and they're not healthy anymore. And maybe they aren't able to give you candy anymore, and you talk bad about them. I pity your soul. Something in the Bible about the ravens plucking out your eye. I pity you. But again, what is it? Well, it's a fair weather friend. We'll come around because you have something to give us. We'll come around because you have something to offer. We'll come around because you look good. We'll come around because you have brothers, sisters, kinsfolk, familiar friends, servants, the children. His inward friends, verse 19, it says, they abhorred me. His inward friend. These are people he was around all the time. And these are people they went to Tim Hortons together and drank coffee. I mean, they went to McDonald's and... what would you get at McDonald's? Well, they went and just sat. They went to went out to eat. And I'm not a real McDonald's fan. But they went to Wendy's and had salad. But these are the inward friends. Hey, where are you people? Oh, well, the inward friends, they counseled with Job. Job was a wise man. The Bible says perfect and upright man. These are people that counseled. He gave them good advice. He helped him to become wise. He spent time with him. The Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron. These are his inward friends. Wow. It says in verse 19, they whom I loved are turned against me. He loved them. Haven't you ever wondered as you read this, Job's all alone at the ash heap? Doesn't that break your heart? I'm sad he lost his sheep. I'm sad that he lost his camels. I'm sad that he lost his donkeys. I'm sad that he lost his children. But I honestly, sometimes my heart breaks when I think about him out there on that ash heap all by himself. I don't get it. I don't know why anybody should ever have to be out there by themselves. Do you? It's just so hard. I don't understand. But the hardest thing in the world that I cannot even imagine is verse 17. Because of his disease, he stunk. And it says in verse 17, my breath is strange to my wife, though I entreated for the children's sake of mine own body. And his wife didn't even want to be around him because he stunk. Why, Job? I don't know why. I don't know why I have this. I don't know why I'm going through this. Boy, I like to watch a spouse stay close to their husband when their husband's not what he used to be. Because that's how it's supposed to be. But those fair weather friends. Before, his wife was close to him. Not now. Not now. Maybe she blamed him too. It's easy. You know, it's easy. Better or worse, richer or poorer, sickness, health. That's easy. Fair weather friends. When you're up, they surround you. When you're down, they scatter. Fair weather friends. When you have money, there they are. When you're broke, they're nowhere to be found. Don't be like that. Be a real friend. Friday night, we had a little bit of excitement at our house. Obviously, I didn't write this in initially because it hadn't happened. But 2:30 in the morning, I was awakened by some noise, and I couldn't figure out what it was, and my wife was up. In fact, I couldn't see her anywhere. And 2:30 in the morning, I'm typically not real sharp, as you probably aren't either. But anyway, I heard some noise, and I noticed my wife was up, and she was looking around and trying to look out the windows. And I thought, and I said, "Honey, what is it?" She said, "Well, I've been trying to figure it out." She said, "It sounds like something on our porch." And I said, "Okay." And we couldn't hear because we had a fan on, so we shut the fan off, and then we could hear it. And there was loud noises on our porch, 2:30 in the morning. And honestly, I could not figure out, you know, what it was, but then it got very loud. And there was screaming and yelling, and there was somebody was trying to kick our door down. And, you know, as a pastor, you think, okay, who hates me? So I thought about some of the most recent Facebook posts. You say, oh, people like that would. If you'll post something on Facebook, you'll kick somebody's door down because you're not a good Christian. Anyway, if you'll post something bad about somebody, I'm not against Facebook. I'm just saying, if you'll tear somebody down without coming to their face and telling them, you're a coward too. But anyway, so thank you for amen in that. But anyway, my wife, so she's you know, she's calm, honestly. Usually she's not. I mean, if you walk in and she sees you, she jumps all over the place. She's terrified. And if you startle her at all. But anyway, so this noise is going. And as she walks around, she said, "Oh, I'm going to go check this out." And I'm thinking, you're out of your mind. So I grabbed the phone. I'm calling the police. And right then, we heard a scream and boom, a kick on the door. And now I'm thinking, okay, this is not fun. I thought about all the people I've counseled on that porch. I've counseled drug addicts on that porch. I led a guy to the Lord who had all kinds of problems right on that porch. And I'm thinking, okay, who knows me? I'm thinking of a fella that I counseled that had mental problems. And okay, what is this? And of course, she came back in the bedroom away from the stairway when that last boom was, because we honestly thought the door was open. And I got a hold of the police, and praise the Lord for the police. Amen? Amen. Amen. Don't you dare call them pigs around me. I don't even want to hear it, but they were there, right there. Took three guys to cuff the guy. And there was a man, he was on our porch. I mean, they came right away, and this guy was on the porch. He was drunk and don't know the guy. I didn't know him at all, had no idea who he was. But he literally, he had done all kinds of damage. There was blood on the porch, vomit all over the porch. Our furniture was out in the grass, the flowers, everything. I mean, it was just a mess. And honestly, we had just been talking about how safe our city is. It's just funny how things happen. But we felt very fearful because this guy just about, had he got in the house, I had no idea what would have happened. And yes, I have a gun, but no, I didn't have it out. Don't know why, didn't even think about it. But I say all that to say this. I was cleaning things up yesterday, and a car pulled up in front of the house, and two people our age came out, and they said, "Did you have something happen at your house Friday night?" I said, "Yeah, I'm cleaning up the mess right now." And two parents said to me, "I'm so sorry. We're so sorry. I'm sure you hate our son, a 26-year-old young man." I said, "No, I said, I don't hate anybody. I said, in fact, my wife and I both have been praying for him ever since he was arrested the other night." And they cried and they said, you prayed for our son?" I said, "Oh, yeah. Yeah, we don't. That's good. Well, you must have been terrified." I said, "Yeah, we were pretty scared. We didn't know what was going to happen if he came in our house." I still don't to this day. And so they motioned to the car, and the young man got out of the car and came up. And he was crying. He said, I'm so sorry. He said, I was drunk. I don't remember anything. I have no idea what happened. And I told him what happened. And I preached to him for about 5 minutes and told him how he needed to love his parents and how he needed to get his life straightened out. But I also told him this, and I said all that to say this, and I meant it with all my heart. I said, son, you have a friend. Amen. Because I want to help you. As we went back to sleep that night when the police left with him and we cleaned puke up off the porch, I remember thinking and thanking God that I was on this side of the door instead of the guy on the other side of the door. And I felt bad for the guy on the other side of the door. And when I told him, you have a friend, I meant that he had a friend. I said, you can, I just said, next time you come on my porch, knock softly. And I'll be your friend, and I'll help you, and I'll counsel you, and I'll tell you how you can have a different kind of life. And I don't know how many drunks I've counseled, how many drug addicts I've tried to help, how many people that are miserable with their homosexuality I've tried to help. And, you know, people need a friend. They just need a friend. I've watched over the years and how so many times when somebody has a bunch of sin in their life and they're poor and they don't seem to have anything to offer. I've just watched over the years, so many just don't care about them then. You know, it's one of the things about Berean Baptist Church that I don't care what anybody says. They can gripe, complain, argue, and everything else, and certainly people do. But you won't find anybody that loves people more than Berean Baptist Church. Now, I'm not saying others don't love people. I'm just saying you won't find anybody that loves them more. Those buses out there are testimony of that. The shepherd's ministry is testimony of that. Most people don't care. Do you understand? Most people don't care. I watch our workers, especially during Shepherd's Bible School, I watch our workers literally have to take people to the bathroom, and I'm talking about the Shepherd's Bible School, take them to the bathroom and deal with that, the whole thing, all the way through. Every part of it. Huh? Why do they? Because they love those people. They love them. They're friends to them. They're friends. That's a real friend. Hey, what do you get out of that? Well, I don't get anything out of that, except I love them. Well, why do you do it? Why would you give your time up to do that? Well, because that's my friend. Amen. I've watched over the years, you know, nobody cares about a lot of these folks. Nobody cares about some of the kids that we pick up on our buses. No, there's nobody else really trying to reach them. But it always amazes me how that, you know, our bus ministry, we train them as little bus kids, and we love them, and we try to help them, and we teach them, and we have programs and everything else, and nobody else cares about them until they have grown up, they're saved, they get a job, they're making money, and then other people want them. Amen. I mean, really, soul-winning ministry is all about just going and being a friend to somebody because you're friend enough to give them the gospel. Huh? Yeah. You take somebody who's messed up, their life's a wreck, and it takes hours and days and years to help them. Teenagers are like that. It takes sometimes hours, days, and years, and honestly, to help them. And finally, then the RU program is like that. And finally, they get the help, and now they're productive citizens. And all of a sudden, all the fair weather people show up. You know what? It ought to really bother you when nobody cared about you until you actually got straightened out. Now they're inviting you to their church. It ought to really bug you. It should. Amen. You know? Somebody's successful, everybody's after them. But where were they when they were a little bus kid? Do you understand that Berean Baptist Church's backsliders are the best Christians in a lot of churches? It is a truth. I know it is. I wouldn't have said it if it wasn't. You say, you bragging about us? I'm saying we're friends to people. Real friends. It's the way it should be. Amen. There isn't a person in this room that's not a sinner. Not one. Not one. Don't get disillusioned with people. And the only reason you get disillusioned with people is you got illusioned in the first place. Don't get illusioned with people. Don't expect anything out of anybody in here other than them being a human being. Just be their friend. Well, yeah, but so-and-so did. Who cares? Be their friend and love them. Job thought about his accusations, and he said this to these three friends, miserable comforters are ye all. What's a friend supposed to, isn't a friend supposed to straighten them out? Not always. How about just put your arm around them and say, I love you, I care about you. And I'll sit on the ash heap with you for a while, because I'm your friend. Amen. I'll give you comfort. I'll give you exhortation. And I'll lift you up to try to get you back. Here's what Job said. By the way, I'm just about done. Don't get nervous. Okay? Here's what he said in verse 4. He said, and be it indeed that I've erred, mine error remaineth with myself. What you say, what's that mean? It means it's none of your business. That's what it means. If it be, if I have erred somehow, mine error remaineth with myself. Oh yeah, but if I'm going to help you, if I don't want you to help me with my error, I want you to tell me that I'm still your friend. Amen. That's all. I just want you to be my friend. Could you be my friend? I don't need you to tell me what all I did wrong. That's between me and God. Here's what I need you to do. I need you just to be my friend. I was thinking about that porch and trying to imagine who might be out there, and I was thinking about some people. I've had them that their earlobes have those things in them, and they're about that big now, sitting out there. I had one fella tell me that said, now, you know, a lot of people want to key cars coming down this alley, but I always tell them, don't you key Pastor Rogers and Mrs. Rogers' car because they're cool. And we... I'm not going to say this because about that time I say this, somebody, one of you will go key it. But the truth of the matter is, you know what he means by we're cool? I tried to figure that out because I don't think I'm cool. I think he means I'm his friend. Well, preacher, why don't you preach to him? Whenever he's come here, I have preached to him. You know what I do when he's on my porch? I'm his friend. I'm his friend as his preacher, too. But he doesn't always need a preacher. Sometimes he needs a friend. Yeah. Fair weather friends, they forsake all the time. But notice verse 25, I know that my Redeemer liveth. He goes through the list of all these people that should have been there. None of them were. I know my Redeemer liveth. He shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. My Redeemer's still with me. Praise God. Doesn't matter what anybody else says. Doesn't matter what anybody else does. When you're saved, amen. He said, I'll never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Never. Look at Job 16:20. Job 16, verse 20. My friends scorn me, but mine eye poureth out tears unto God. That's one of the great things. Boy, the world turns on its own so fast. I mean, honestly, why do so many people commit suicide? Why do, you know, they just have nobody to turn to because they turn on themselves so fast. You can be popular today and throw a bad pitch and all of a sudden you're hated by thousands of people. Thousands. Why do, you know, oh, listen. Isn't it wonderful that you look around and it doesn't matter what everybody else thinks, says, does. The Lord you can cry out to him. He's a friend that's closer than a brother. Praise God. And no matter who forsakes us, Jesus is always there. He loves us, and he loved us while we were yet sinners. You know, I've never been able to run him off. That's an awesome thing. I know me, and I've never been able to run him off. He's always there, like the prodigal's daddy, always there. And he loves us. Sin, he loves us. Disease, he loves us. Poor, he loves us. Inconsistent, he loves us. Bad habit, he loves us. When all else forsake us, he still loves us. And he's always there. Spend time with him. He is your best friend. Love him. Call on him. He is your friend. Be his friend. Amen. I mean, be his friend. Do you understand? Jesus is always unpopular in this world. There will never be a time Jesus is popular in this world. It is not happening until he comes as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. Okay, he's not going to be popular. I know a lot of Christians try to popularize him. It isn't happening. Not Jesus. Not the Jesus who hung on a cross. Not the Jesus who preached against sin. Not the Jesus who we know as God, who is holy, who is perfect holiness. He's never going to be popular. Never. You know, we can cuten him, and we can do all that, you know, and package him and what would Jesus do and all that kind of stuff. We can do all that kind of stuff. He's always unpopular in this world. Always. You're not going to get him accepted with the world. Okay? It's not going to happen. What concord hath Christ with Belial? None. There's no friendship. It isn't happening. So be his friend. What's that mean? That means quit being friends with the world. A world system that hates him. Be his friend. Take a stand. Be his friend. Don't be a fair weather friend. You know? And be a friend to his friends. Amen. Be a friend to his friends. Folks, honestly, good old-fashioned friendship, it has gone by way of the old fair weather friends. Just good old fashioned, hey, I'm with you. I'm with you. There's folks in this room right now, you've done some unbelievably bad stuff, but you know your pastor's your friend. You know that. Amen. I'm honestly, it's been that way for many, many years. I mean, honestly, you know that. I don't want a pat on the back. I just want you to be somebody's friend. I want you to understand that just because somebody's going through a tough time, that doesn't mean they've got sin in their life. And okay, so what? If they do, they do. Be their friend. What do you suppose is going to bring them back? Amen. You walking up to them going, yeah, is that it? No, that didn't. What? Here, put your arm around them and say, you know what? I love you. Yeah, but you don't know what I've done. You know what? I don't need to know what you did. I still love you. Well, yeah, but I need to get right with God. Well, praise God, I'm right here. You can get right with God, and I'll help you. But it's not a condition of me being your friend. Boy, we need to love one another. We need to be friends. Hey, this fair weather thing, it is how it is in our world today. Dog eat dog, you know. Well, if you're up, I'll be with you. But boy, if you're looked down on, I don't want to be associated with you. Fooey on that stuff. Fooey on that stuff. Praise God. My wife and I the other night, we said, why in the world did this happen? I'll tell you why it happened. Because that guy needed a friend. I guess. I don't know. He just needed a friend. Amen. All the houses on College Avenue, why does he come to my house? I don't know. I guess he needs a friend. Let's bow our heads, please. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. Are you a friend to Jesus? I mean, are you faithful and true? Or do you just kind of, well, when it's popular, I hang with Jesus. When it's not, I kind of go the other way. Are you his friend? He's your friend. Are you here today and you do not know him as Savior? You don't know what it's like to have the very best friend in all the world, Jesus. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Is there someone that'd say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. If I died right now, I don't know if I'd go to heaven. Not sure. I'm not sure. Please pray for me. Raise your hand, anyone. You'd say, I'm not sure I'm saved. Do not know I'm going to heaven. Pray for me. How many would say, preacher, I'm a Christian. God's speaking to my heart about something. Please pray for me as a Christian. Raise your hand. Thank you so much, Father, for speaking to our hearts. I pray that we would be a friend to you, a true friend, not a fair weather friend. I pray we'd be a friend to our friends, not just when they're up, but all the time, that we'd be a real friend. And I pray we'll be a friend to your friends. Please speak to our hearts, work in our lives. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.